Greetings, humans and earthlings, together, as well as any members of the animal kingdom who might be joining in.
So you see, my patience is growing.
Are you wearing a Medusa? What is that?
Yes, it's a Medusa crown.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like it. So you're, let's tell people where you are.
I'm in the museum.
What is the museum?
I'm in the museum that I created.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Intergalactic, it's called, excuse me, Kamwela Intergalactic Center for Gynomorphic Resonance.
All right. I heard gynomorphic.
So I did that like 15 years ago, maybe 20. No, what was it? Maybe only 15 years ago.
And this is a pretty spiritual room, right? I feel it.
You do?
Yeah. You have all sorts of stuff.
It's got a lot of cool imagery in it.
It does. You should give a tour on locals later so people can see where you live. Because this is also your house. You live in a museum, which I think is so cool.
A haunted museum.
Yeah, well, it's not
as
haunted,
they say. But they don't know what's going on, these people.
I don't think it's haunted anymore. We got that on the last reality show. We got it cleared. But anyway, the reason what we have to talk
There's
about...
There's only one reason it is haunted.
Why? Because you're here and
they've
attached to you.
Huh?
And they've attached to you.
Hell yeah. That's what I tell the kids.
No, we're doing God's work in here. So it's good energy. Let's catch people up. We were going to have Alina Haba on. Unfortunately,
yeah.
She could not make it. She's in trial. She is going to do the podcast eventually, just not this week. So
yeah.
We had a mad scramble.
We love her so much.
Yeah. No, she's coming on. We love you, Alina. You'll be here. But we got someone pretty awesome, too. We've already recorded it. Tom McDonald.
Oh, my God. It was fantastic.
Number one rapper in the world right now with Ben Shapiro. Everyone knows.
Isn't that great?
It's awesome. He's got 45 number ones or some weird thing. We talked about it in the episode.
Yeah, we talked about his, like, kind of journey from the edge of despair with like trying to talk himself into like staying alive.
Yeah. No, you'll love this episode.
To get in the words for the song. And he knew that he said it was like he downloaded it.
Mm-hmm.
I said it was one of those God moments, right? When it just comes, you're like, give me a pen. I got to get a pen, you know?
Yeah.
Or you're going to forget it, but you just download it and onto. And you know you got it. Like, you know you got the joke, you know?
Yeah. Enjoy the episode. I think it's a great one.
I think it's just such a great, it's such a great movie, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
they'll watch the episode.
Anyway.
It's better than 8 Mile, I think. One more thing before we get started with Tom McDonald. You have been sleeping better.
Oh, my God. I'm sleeping like the dead over here. And maybe I am dead.
No, it's the diet smoke weed gummies. You've been hitting those things. We're almost out. But
they are just heaven sent.
They're the best. And you know what they sent you this time? They sent you
actual
flower.
Oh, my gosh. I just really want to say thank you. Where's my camera? Thank you very much. They really help with sleep.
Yeah.
So much. And, you know, then when I get up in the morning, I'm not like... You know, I don't feel as drugged or as, like, tired, you know.
Yeah.
I can, of course, that might be
the other drugs.
The other thing.
They sent you flower, too, so it's not just the weed gummies. And as you know, Diet Smoke, they tailor the weed experience to you, what you like. You call them and say, I like this and that. They basically have, like, a sommelier of weed, and they've tailored. And I think we found the right
sommelier of weed.
That's what Diet Smoke is.
Cool.
It's awesome.
Join the Diet Smoke community and discover the buzz for you. Visit DietSmoke.com today and use the code RB20. At the checkout and get $20 off your order, including their entire new lineup of gummies and flower. Oh my God, I'm so excited to have this great guest on today to speak with. Me and Jake have been fans of his because I said, this guy's the shit. The first time Jake showed it to me, I go, No, he's the shit. He's the working, fuck Eminem. He's the working class. The working class. So I love having you on here. And I'm so proud of you that you're number one. Every one of those so-and-sos can eat your dirt.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been
Tom McDonald, everybody. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's been thanks for having me. And I just want to say, I've been a fan of you for much longer than you've been a fan of me. So I'm flattered.
That's probably true. How long have you been famous?
Oh God, famous. 6 years, maybe.
6 years ago is when you got famous. That was your first song.
That was more,
I mean, rap, whatever it's called.
No, it's a song. Yeah, that was the first one that
went. Is that what they're called now?
Yeah,
songs?
Yeah, that was the first one that went viral and the first time people ever figured out who the hell I was.
So let's talk about that. I love this story. It so reminds me, of my story. And all the people like us that did come from working class backgrounds and hit it big in entertainment, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a pretty wild ride. So essentially what had happened was I was an alcoholic and
that's good. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That'll help you get there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think a lot of us in the entertainment industry have that in common too.
So
I was an alcoholic for quite a while and that led to like a pretty large mental breakdown. And then, we got a lot in common.
This is mom's last week.
So I was a mess and I stopped talking to all of my friends and stopped talking to my family. And, I was having a really difficult time. I couldn't eat and I couldn't go outside and I stopped making music for a year. And it's a pretty dark, story to kick off the show with. So I'll give you the reader's.
No, it ain't. Cause you know what? Here's what I think. Well, all artists, they have to go through the dark night of the soul to grow in their art. Do you think that way?
Absolutely. It's weird because it was like the worst thing that ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. But retrospectively, it's like the best thing that ever happened to me. It taught me a lot about myself and what I want to do with my platform. And it's like one of those weird dualities where it's like, if it never happened, I wouldn't be here right now.
Right.
And because and because it happened, I almost wasn't here right now. So, so it's weird, but yeah. So I was just drinking all the time and partying all the time. And, I'm laying in bed one night at like 3 a.m. and I get up to get out of my bed. And, I was to the point where I would drink, I would wake up and I'd have beer next to my bed and I'd reach over, crack a beer, drink. When I got done a beer, I'd get out of bed, kind of go about my business, eat breakfast, call my friends. There was a bunch of bars close by where you could get a meal for $5. So I'd meet them at the bar, have breakfast. I knew the bartender, so they'd give us free shots and cheap drinks. And I'd drink all day long until the nighttime and go to sleep and start over again the next day.
Now, how old were you when this was going on?
I think I was about like 25, 26. Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit later, 27. So mm-hmm. that cycle had gone on for years, though. Mm-hmm. And so this one night, I get up out of bed. It's about 3 a.m. And I remember just taking a step and my whole room kind of went like, and it kind of like went with me. And it wasn't like the drunk wobbles. It was like there was something else going on. And all of a sudden, my heart starts pounding and I can hear it in my ears. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm dying. I think I'm having a heart attack. So I like ran to the bathroom and looked at myself in the mirror. And I was just ghost white. And it was like the first time I'd ever like looked at myself in the mirror and like literally did not recognize myself. I was like, what the fuck is going on right now?
What did you look like?
If you can imagine me looking worse than this, that I was in Canada at the time and their healthcare system is just totally fucked. It's free, but if you want to talk to a therapist or something, like you're looking at 6-8 months sometimes. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know if I'm going to survive till tomorrow. I'm not going to make it 8 months.
Right.
So I go to this doctor and I tell him for the first time, I told the doctor flat out, if you don't give me something that's going to like make me feel better, I'm going to kill myself today. I will not be back here again. I've been here 4 or 5 times. Like you'll never see me again. I'm done. So he gives me some sort of like super powerful kick-ass like Xanax or something. So I go home and I take this pill and 20 minutes later, for the first time in 9 months, I felt like myself. And I was like, it gave me this relief, a very small window. You know, it would only last for a very short period of time. And I sort of knew like, I can't be on this shit for the rest of my life. To me, pharmaceuticals like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. Like, it might stop the bleeding for like a minute, but it's going to kill you eventually. Yeah. So I started taking the medication so that I could regain some sense of myself. And when I was in that state, I would immediately start reading and researching mental health and mental illness and the things that I could do to make myself feel better. So I cut out all caffeine, no soda, no fast food, no junk food. I started running and exercising every day. I started meditating. I started reading books. It was just a really chaotic time in my life. And
it was a big ass wake up call from God.
100%. It was that like come to Jesus moment where it was just like, literally like, you either clean your shit up, get your act together, or it's done. It's over for you. This is going to be the rest of your life. So I did the work. And after a period of time, I got off the medication and I got my visa approved to come to the United States. And I left and I came here. And my girlfriend, Nova, I stayed with her. So Nova and I have been together for 7 years and we've been best friends.
Hi, Nova.
Yeah, she's dealing with the dogs, but she loves you. So I Nova, she's amazing. She saved my life. So Nova invited me to come stay with her. And we've been best friends for 16 years. Nova put me on my very first rap show ever.
That's what we didn't even get to yet. You know,
we're getting
like us that we all the time we got a lot of we want people to know who we are behind all that stuff they like, and then of course you find out they don't give a fuck. They just want to see the shit they like, and they want you to shut the fuck up and give it to them. You know what I mean? Yep. It's kind of takes a lot of hits in the head to see it. But the artistry that I wanted to talk about, your artistry, and when you first knew you were a wordsmith, let's talk about that. Like how you craft an idea with words, how powerful you think words are. Well, first of all, how do you feel being number one this week with Ben Shapiro, who I'd like to go out to dinner with and argue Torah with because he's wrong, wrong, wrong. But anyways, what did you think of all that?
It was crazy. It was really bizarre. Like Ben had me on the Shapiro show last year. And because of some like political funny video that I'd made on Instagram. So he had me on to talk. And then he had made a joke at the end of the interview, like, haha, like maybe I'll get on a song with you one day. And we both just laughed at it. And then essentially the interview ended. And when I got off the interview, I said to Nova, I wonder if I could get fucking Ben Shapiro to rap. And she was like, she's like, that would be crazy. So I reached out to them and I was like, look, I have this fucking idea. Like, I don't know if Ben would be into it, but I think it'd be hilarious. I think it'd be a massive troll on the music industry. And,
it was too. It was right? Fantastic. And it just was so popular. The most popular thing, the number one thing with a bullet. It's so killer. Great.
Thank you. So
because it's done independently, it's just, you know, it's just you and, you know, your vision and
Nova,
you know, talk about that. How long have you known you had something to say?
Well, I was a pro wrestler when like the WWF stuff when I was like 14. And then
really?
Yeah. And then I was about, I think, 17 years old. I had been writing sort of raps and poetry and rock songs and stuff secretly in my binders and notebooks for like a long, 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 long time. And then I got injured when I was wrestling. I crushed all the cartilage in both my knees. So I was hobbling around on crutches and stuff for many months. And just like as a creative person, like it killed me. That was my outlet. That was like my creative outlet. So without wrestling in the picture, I was like, fuck, what am I going to do with myself? My one other like secret love has always been music. Like maybe I could do something with that. So I asked my parents for a laptop for Christmas and they got me a laptop and I installed some recording software. I started recording songs and then I was like, what's the next logical step here? I guess now that I've recorded the songs, I need to perform them in front of people and see if I'm any good at this. So I started reaching out to local rappers saying like, hey, when's the next rap show? Like, and can I get on this rap show? And they said, well, there's this girl, Nova, and she throws shows and you should reach out to her. So I emailed Nova and said, hey, I'm a rapper. Can I rap on your show? And she said, send me your songs. If they don't suck, I'll put you on. So I sent her my songs and they sucked. But for whatever reason, Nova gave me the benefit of the doubt and said, hey, if you come put up posters for the rap show with me, I'll put you on the show. So I met up with her, put the poster at the Avenue, and then Nova put me on my very first rap show ever. So that's kind
of... Now, was this before you had your facial tattoos?
Well, you know, another product we sell is those medical emergency kits from the wellness company. And we've been selling them for a long time. We also sold that COVID thing. They make such cool things. That's the thing with Dr. Drew and Dr. McCullough, where they have like amoxicillin and ivermectin and all this stuff. And you can go on the website and order these kits. And the medical emergency kits are selling like crazy and they're awesome. We have a bunch. So they want us to talk about it again. I guess we're doing a good job for them. So are you enjoying it? Have you been taking your ivermectin, your horse paste? You're just staring at me. Are you here?
I take whatever it is you give me. I hope that's what it is.
No, that's Thorazine and lithium that I've been giving you. No, there, we have them. You haven't needed to take them. I was joking, but we have them for emergency. It's a medical emergency kit. So if COVID breaks out or this new, what's this one, Pandemic X that they're planning? What's this one going to do? This got like a...
I don't know.
It's like 60% more. They're really going to kill us this time, I think.
Well, they keep on trying new ways of figuring out how many of us they're going to get this way or that way.
Well, they got to keep enough of us alive to take advantage of and take our tax money and ship it to Ukraine and all that. They can't kill us all. That's the good news. So I think as long as you're either paying taxes or you're an illegal immigrant coming into America, those two things... you're probably okay, right? They need useless soldiers. The way you're looking at me is hilarious.
I'm having trouble understanding what's even happening.
Well,
you know, nothing makes any sense, so I gave up even trying to understand it.
So tell people where they can go to get the medical emergency kit that has ivermectin.
I forgot we were talking
about
that.
Yeah, I know. You smoked weed before we did these. Don't I always tell her don't smoke weed before we go?
Yeah, I shouldn't have smoked weed.
Yeah, I'm doing the ads and she's like this. I'm putting these ads in the episode so people can see just how much Jake Pentland does for the show. So tell people where to go for the wellness. Some way she's going to pee herself.
No, I'm not. But I keep thinking Hannah's going to pee on my beanbag.
Yeah, don't pee on mom's. Don't laugh.
Oh, okay. She's wearing a bag.
Oh, you're wearing a diaper. That's great. That's another ad we should be doing.
Ad.
Okay.
Well, I bought her a box as a gift.
You're such a good mother-in-law. Who else has a mother-in-law that buys them diapers at 35 years old? All right, so tell people where they can go. Back to ivermectin and all the stuff you can get from the medical emergency kit. Please tell people where they can go.
Well, these prescription kits are in huge demand right now. Mm-hmm. And if you're like me and you want to be prepared and avoid mainstream health care, which, oh my God, is that too terrifying or what?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they kill you for money.
That's the fear. Go to twc.health/RB and use the code RB to save 10% at checkout. That's twc.health/RB, code RB for 10% off.
I love it.
Kits are only available in the USA.
Oh, it's just way before that. Actually, you know what? Okay. I think I had just...
Well, like if she had seen you with the facial tattoos, I don't know. You might not have... Might have been a different thing, you think?
I don't know. I think Nova likes them. And they definitely like... I definitely fit in the rap world now, so...
I love your tattoos. And I told you, I love, love, love your hair. What do you call that do? Turn to the side. I love it so much.
Well,
it's like warrior, Viking, some sort of tribal deal.
Well, I stole it from the lead singer of Pantera.
Tom, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Yeah.
How far from your wrestling injury was it until you had your breakdown? Do you think they were linked?
No. That was about 10 years. So
okay.
Sort of like where I was going with that whole thing was like Nova and I became best friends after this rap show. And then we stayed in touch forever, but we parted ways. Nova went out to Toronto. I stayed on the West Coast. She ended up getting a record deal with Island Def Jam. They moved her to LA. This is many years have passed. Then I have my mental breakdown. I sober up and get myself better. And Nova says, hey, come to LA and live with me. So I come down to LA and I'm staying with Nova in Crenshaw, which is like the hood. It's a tough part of town. And we're living there together.
Not where I lived. I lived on Crenshaw.
Yeah, but you were in the west side of Crenshaw.
It was beautiful.
Oh, you're at the other side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Nova and I are living in Crenshaw together, and it's like pretty grim. We're like living in like an essentially like almost a crack shack, and it's just like the walls are full of mice. And I'd go to the kitchen in the middle of the night and open the cupboards, and this cockroach is running across all our plates and stuff, and the roof's leaking, and we can't afford to do like groceries and pay rent in the same month. Like our power was cut off so often that I had an extension cord that I used to keep coiled up behind the fridge. And when the power got cut off, I'd run the cord out into my neighbor's garage and plug it into his garage so our food in the fridge didn't spoil. Like, it was fucking grim.
And, did he know about it?
Pardon me? Yeah, he knew about it. He was cool. He was cool. And then it was, like, so fucking bizarre. It was, like, literally, like, one day, you know.
It's beyond mice and men.
For real, literally. So it was bizarre. Like one day we're sitting there and the power had just come back on after a week of being cut off, and we have no food and no money for rent. We literally have nothing. Oh, and I have half a cigarette left. This is like,
oh no,
blows my mind to this day. And I'm like, I'm sitting in this house and this, I think it was like a Drake song or a G-Eazy song comes on the computer or the radio or whatever. And whoever it was sort of like bitching about being famous and bitching about being rich, and it's like kind of like the woe is me, like sad celebrity song. And I was like, I was so bitter about it. I was like, how fucking dare you? Like, I would give anything to be in that position, and not in the position that I'm in now. I was so fucking offended by it. And I went out and sat on the front porch with half a cigarette, and in the time that it took me to smoke that cigarette butt, it was literally like, no other way to explain it. It was literally like God like reached down and like spoke through me into my phone. And I wrote this song in like 10 minutes. I don't remember stopping.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember stopping to think, oh, what word rhymes here? Or like, what should I say at this part? Or like anything, like a typical songwriting.
Was it just like a download hit you and you had to download it?
Just like that.
Yeah.
And by the time I'd finished smoking the cigarette, I had written this song and my hands were shaking on my phone. I almost had a panic attack. I ran into the house and I said, Nova, I just wrote the song. It's going to change our fucking life.
Knew it right away? Well, because it came through you, right?
Yeah, I have,
you feel like it came straight from God through you to your fingers?
That's the only explanation I can come up with.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. You know, there's been a lot of times in my life, especially growing up, that I wasn't sure if there was anything that existed beyond us. And that was one of those experiences where it was just like, oh, I'm actually a very small part of what's going on here. There's something much more powerful than me here. It was just one of those things. And
how long was that from when you were so depressed and you took that one good pill? How long was that?
6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So I ran.
And you moved Canada to US in that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your power shut off, got rats.
Yeah.
You write this song. What happens next?
I run in the house. I'm freaking out. And I say to Nova, hey, I just wrote the song. It's going to change everything. Can you set up your camera? Can we shoot this video? And she's like, you don't even have the song recorded. And I said, look, I'm going to record it right now while I'm recording. Can you pull the backdrop down and set up a light? And she does. And I record this thing. We had this $125 light from Amazon. It's about this big. That's all we had for our light. And she pulls the backdrop down, sets up the light. We shoot this video in like an hour. I call my sister. This is brutal. This is embarrassing. My sister's 5 years younger than me. I call my sister and asked her for $200 because we had nothing.
Oh, no.
And my sister gives me $200. I call my mom, ask her for $200. She gives me $200. I call three of my friends and ask them for $150 a piece. And when it was all said and done, I had $1,100. And that was enough to pay our rent and do groceries, neither of which we could do without this $1,100. But I was like, fuck it. We got to bet it all on Red right now. And the next day we put the music video out, and I took that $1,100 and put it on an ad. And 24 hours later, it had 1 million views and just changed our life.
Man. It's amazing. Now.
Congrats. Thank you.
What do you think people were, what were you saying that was so magnetic to people at that time?
I was pretty much just criticizing the status quo of hip hop. Like I said, I had heard that song and it irritated me so much that this guy was bitching about a lifestyle that like was the opposite of mine and one that I would give anything to have. I was so resentful about it. So I wrote this song called Dear Rappers, and that was in 2017. And the whole thing was just criticizing the message of hip hop. And, you know, a lot of people ended up saying that, calling me a racist for that song. And my response was that I wasn't criticizing any rappers of a particular color. I was criticizing rappers of a particular content. And that was, you know, drugs, cars, clothes, money, girls, partying, all the same stuff that deteriorated me to a point where I had a fucking mental breakdown. So that mental breakdown was the greatest thing that ever happened, because coming out of it, I was like, you know what? Do I want to make the same music that eroded my morals and it fucked my life up? Yeah. Do I want to be making that for other kids so they can end up in the same fucked up situation I'm in? Obviously not. So I wanted to make music that was going to inform people, wake people up, empower people, and improve and enforce high moral value. The opposite of sort of the music that I was listening to. So that's what Dear Rappers was. And I think that in a world that's just like so fake and so full of bullshit, it's really easy to just cut through all that noise just by being fucking authentic and genuine and true to yourself. And I was saying a lot of things that a lot of people were thinking but weren't saying out loud. So I think I got to speak on behalf of a lot of people sort of by accident. It was a very personal journey for me, and I didn't know that there was millions of people that felt the same way.
What was that a shock to you when you found that out?
I couldn't fucking believe it. I didn't know what was going on. Like, we woke up the next day and I looked at YouTube or Facebook or whatever it was. And I said, Nova, the video's got 1 million views. And my fan page went from having 500 people on it to 20,000 people overnight. And fucking, you know, 30 days later, a check comes in the mail for $10,000. Neither one of us had ever seen that amount of money before. And then, you know, then the next month it was 20 and then 50 and then 70 and then 100. And I was like, we're moving the fuck out of Crenshaw. Let's go. Yeah, it was just a really wild ride. And like, I'm almost crying just talking about it now, because it was just, I just thank God every day, because we were on the brink. Like, I don't know where we'd be right now if it wasn't for that song. Probably still in Crenshaw, fucked up.
Well, I want to hear more about you being, I mean, since that happened and everything, has it happened again where you get the feeling something's coming? And then you go and just sit and download and write it out?
Yeah, a few times. Some of my bigger songs, like Fake Woke happened. It's got 40 million views. Yeah. Bad News is a song I did with Nova and my friend Madchild, which was like a sort of like an urban pop song. And that was the same type of thing. I was like sitting in the studio with Madchild and we're racking our brains, banging our heads off the wall, trying to figure out what's the last, you know, couple songs that we can make for this album. And it's not coming to us, and it's not coming to us, and it's not coming to us. And he's like, I need a break, man. I need to take a breather. I said, you go ahead. I'm gonna hang out. And he walked out and went and sat on my couch in my living room with Nova. And I sat there just by myself for a minute and just like tried to clear my mind and just, okay, come on. Like, there's something here. I don't know what it is, but there's something here. And then all of a sudden, ding, came to me. I hit two notes on the piano. That's all it was. Dun, 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 dun. And then I was like, oh my God, I got the melody. And then sang it in the microphone. And it just all happened all of a sudden. And I went into the living room and I was like, hey, I think I got it. And Nova and Manchild come into the studio and listen to it. And they're like, holy shit, this is it, dude. So, and that's one of our top performing. It's got like 45 million views, one of my top performing songs ever. Those tend to be the best ones, the ones that like I feel like I have the least to do with.
Isn't it great to feel that connection to like a higher form of intelligence than just humans?
Well, yeah. Like I feel like when I was really depressed and having that mental breakdown, I feel like a big part of it was not having someone to look up to and not having a sense of purpose. And something above me or all around me, something out there, God, in whatever form that's in, he reached down and he gave me purpose and he gave me someone to look up to and something to look forward to.
That's now I just love the way you put it. Yeah. It's really miraculous sometimes. I wanted to talk to you more about the power of words and how you channel them. Do you have the idea of what you're going to write your song about before you write it? Do you get it in parts, like first the idea and then the title? How does it go? What's the order?
Well, it's kind of always different. Sometimes I sit down and make the beat first, because I produce my stuff. So sometimes that inspires just the mood of the music, inspires the message of the song. Uh-huh. But a lot of it is like, I mean, you guys know, we all are absorbing the same information all fucking day long on our phones, on our computers, on the TV, in the paper, everywhere you look. We're just being fucking bombarded with politics and social issues and shit constantly. I don't know how anybody's writing music about anything else. Like, it's like this shit is the most important stuff in the world in my eyes. It's going on all around us and we're just sucking it in all the time. So, you know, and it's part of, I don't want to make the same music that put me in the position I was in. So I'm absorbing all this shit just like everybody else. And instead of taking that information and talking about it in my living room with the door closed with my family or my friends, I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to put it on a song. This is the shit I'm actually interested in. This is the shit I talk about my friends with. If I meet somebody new, like I have a difficult time like connecting with somebody until they start talking about something that I'm actually interested in. And I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested in politics. I'm interested in conspiracy theories. I'm interested in social issues. I'm interested in, you know, the Elon Musks of the world that have intriguing, interesting, sometimes fucked up perspectives and points of view. Like, that's the shit I'm interested in. So that's the shit I've been writing about.
Well, why do you have that hog? Why do you have the word hog tattooed on your chin?
Hangover Gang.
Oh,
that's my fan.
Is that some gang you're in with other sobers?
Sort of. Yeah, sort of. Well, it started out as like it was a gang of us that were drunk all the time. We were hungover. We were the Hangover Gang. And now that sort of the drinking is out of the picture, you know, it started off as just a small group of guys who used alcohol to have the best time of their life as often as possible. So, you know, remove the alcohol from the equation, but I'm still just a guy who's trying to have the best time of his life as often as possible, just like everybody else is. So Hangover Gang still rings true to me.
You just probably don't do as dumb of shit. You probably don't like bang your head through a wall or some shit like that you do when you're drunk.
Debatable.
I think I should get the hog tattooed on my face.
Well, I do too.
But just because I'm getting fat. Have you noticed how fat I've been getting? You haven't. You're being nice. Remember you said I had Quivod because Hannah's pregnant and men put on weight.
Yeah, but then you just saw that as your excuse. That was opening the door to Satan there.
It's possible, but I want to talk to you about a product that actually might help. I'm going to start taking this and I'll let you can track my weight loss if it does. It's liver health formula because there's a link potentially to fatty liver making you chubby, but fatty liver is not good in general. So even if you're not getting fat, you want to.
So you're saying I'm fat because I have a fatty liver. Even my liver is fat. Even my dang liver is fat.
No, I think your liver's dead from alcoholism. All right, hold on. Right now, there is a silent epidemic affecting 100 million Americans that nobody wants to talk about. It's called fatty liver. We throw everything in our livers, cholesterol, alcohol, toxin, heavy metal stains, cigarettes.
How do they know that people's livers are fatty?
Well, you have to get it tested, but... Fatty liver also affects our sleep quality. It sounds like I have a fatty liver because I don't sleep in fat.
Oh, my God. I don't want fatty liver.
But anyway, even if you're not sure if you have fatty liver, you can take this liver health formula and just be safe. It might help you.
Yeah.
It has 11,
I've got to get that.
11 clinically proven botanicals that help you recharge and protect your liver.
Oh, that's good.
This company has already helped more than 2 million Americans with their products. It's not surprising that the liver health formula is so popular.
Well, you can try Liver Health Formula and receive a free bottle of nano powered omega 3.
I'm sure that's good. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure it's awesome.
I don't know. It sounds good. Nano. I like anything with nano.
Me too. It's scientific.
Yeah. Omega 3 to keep your heart healthy. Try Liver Health Formula by going to getliverhelp.com/RB and claim your free bonus gift.
Ooh.
Yeah, I wonder what that'll be.
I don't know. That's part of the excitement. So you have to order to find out.
Yeah. All remember, right. Your liver is responsible for 500 key functions. It's time you give it a boost in performance. So go to getliverhelp.com/RB.
How many number ones have you had? Because I mean, most people know who you are, but for our listeners that don't, we're talking about your rise to fame and your dark days. But let's throw out the receipts. I mean, you have wild success. You've had
thanks. Incredible.
Yeah, like so, some songs that have multiple number ones associated with like one song. Like it'll go number one in digital sales, number one in hot rap, number one in whatever. So if you take all of those songs and add them up, I'm around 40 something
number
ones on Billboard. Yeah,
man, congratulations. That's unheard of.
Thank you.
You've invented your own genre too. I mean, a lot of other rappers that I watch and enjoy, they got their own genre too. That's kind of what's cool watching them, but you have a very unique one because I just love that it's so lovingly radical, working class.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hello, I love that.
That's where we came from. Like before being a rapper, I was a carpenter. I swung hammers in the freezing cold for years and years and years and years. And I was a heavy duty mechanic for a while, and always did laborious sort of work for those that didn't have an education that was as good as some others. So that's what I was doing. That's what I come from.
Yeah. We're really in trouble because they're really trying to undercut all the pay of that class of people. That's what the immigrants are really about, besides forcing them to vote for Biden, because no Americans is going to vote for the motherfucker.
I mean,
but anyways,
at this point, I just got to say, at this point, if you're a Democrat, which is totally fine. I'm sure there's lots of cool Democrats out there. I'm friends with some liberal folks and they're totally fine. But
I know my kids are Democrats, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Not you. Okay, cool. But I just feel like even if you're a Democrat and you detest Trump or you detest whoever is on the right side of the spectrum who's running, just with what we've seen from Biden, like, and I'm not even talking about his policies and the job that he's done. I mean, the mental frailty that we've and the incompetence that we've witnessed on a very public stage. It seems fucking irresponsible at this point, even if you're a Democrat, to re-vote for somebody like that. Like, agreed. It's like, come on, man. Like,
well, they all know it is government by the boardroom. That's why they are attacking Trump so much, because they hate the executive branch of our government. They got to get rid of that, because that ain't very commie to have an executive. It's not communist enough. They got to have rule by, boardroom. and they're all billionaires and they're all, you know, Democrat billionaire donors that are involved in terrible, terrible, dark, crappy, demonic shit in this world
and
against children
else.
And human beings. And there they are thinking that them and their God, Satan, is in charge. And what a laugh I do get over that, because their arrogance is always their ruin, you know. How they always think they're smarter than everybody, but that's what brings them down.
It always comes out in the wash. So,
what do you think all this shit there? Do you think there are some things off about the 2020 election, such as the vote counting?
I think that was the most obvious situation where something felt off. I think elections have been fucked up since the beginning of time. I'm not sure they've ever actually counted anybody's vote ever. Me neither. Yeah, I'm not convinced. I said it on a podcast the other day. I feel like this democracy, I think the whole thing's a sham. I think that if they say, like, I broke it down on this other show where I kind of said that, like, I feel like our democracy is like they're giving us three sandwiches. One's a dog shit sandwich, and one's a cat shit sandwich, and one's a bird shit sandwich. And you get to pick what sandwich you want to eat. And when you start eating it and you're like, hey, this tastes like shit, they're like, too bad you chose it, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
that's right.
Is it a choice or is it a
choice? That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Like, is it a democracy or is it a trick? You gave me three shitty choices and forced me to pick one that I don't like. That's the illusion of choice.
Well, that's voting for the lesser of two evils, which is still evil.
Facts.
I ran on that in 2012 when I ran. I ran on telling the fucking truth to the American people. Of course, I did.
That'll never work.
I couldn't get on any ballots, but I was able to get on three, and I did well in three states. But, you know, getting on the ballot is the big thing. Now they're trying to block him from getting on the ballot. The ballot and what's allowed on the ballot is about, you know, 10, 15, bunch of really questionable people in every city and town and state. 10 to 15 people that are all know each other and are in something together, some secret handshake thing. I don't know what it is. Or a devil worship cult. Who knows these days? But, you know, they're in on something together and they're all in charge of every decision.
I'm into that shit. Like,
yeah,
like I've been into conspiracy, and I use that term very loosely. I've been into sort of alternative narratives and perspectives since I was fucking 14 years old. And the mm-hmm. crazy thing about it is, like, when you get into it like that young, it, you know, I didn't need to go watch a YouTube video, and I didn't need 100 people telling me, like, this is what's actually going on. There's a satanic cult that runs the world, and there's these people are into some weird shit. Like, I didn't, just by observing it as a kid, I knew there's some fucked up
me
shit
too.
Going on here.
I knew, I could see it. Yeah. I knew what they were doing.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like, it was just like a gut feeling. And I think it's becoming, the reason why more and more people are into it now, I think, is just because it's becoming more and more obvious. I don't know if they're hiding it less on purpose or if they've just...
Well, some people say they're just trying to wake us up slowly so we don't go all whack like you did, you know, when you're over there staring at the wall and the clock and trying to live. They say people's going to go that crazy once that Epstein list comes out, and then it shows every law the people that was on that island with their secret society shit came back and what laws they drew up right after. Because, you know, that shit, forget Davos.
Yo,
this was fucking Epstein Island where everything went down, right?
Yeah, that shit was fucking wild. But it was kind of crazy because for like the whole week on Twitter, or sorry, I'll get my focus back. The whole week on Twitter or X or whatever, and everybody was saying, oh, the Epstein list is going to drop. The Epstein list is going to drop. Like, look, I was excited just like everybody else. But I, the entire time, I was like, there's no fucking way this list is dropping.
No.
There's no way. Ever. And if it does, like, it's going to be heavily redacted, or it's going to be sort of a counterfeit version of the list. Like, and then, you know, it came out and there was just enough shit in there for people to have something to run with on the internet for a week, but it was a fucking nothing burger. Mm-hmm. Like,
it was.
And I sort of,
yeah, they say, what's her name's going to spill the big beans on them all, but Elaine? She's got to get she's got to get released or cloned or whatever the fuck they do with these criminals. But you know, the girl, what's her name? The Maxwell.
Ghislaine.
I don't think that they're never, they'll never give her the chance. Mm-hmm. Like some people say
she's already out.
I mean, I've heard that Epstein's not actually dead, too.
I heard that, too. What do you think of that?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, it's likely that he's dead, too. But for me, it's just as likely that he's not. Like, I feel like these things, like, people think you're nuts for, like, thinking this shit. But it's just, like,
I know
it's so fucking boring to like not entertain like the alternative. Like anytime somebody says something on the news, hey, this guy's dead, or hey, this happened, I'm immediately thinking, it's probably the opposite.
We all got trained like that. They trained us up like that. They lied so much. We like through, I was thinking the other day, it's not really artificial intelligence. That's what they think it is. But it's like angelic intelligence, because it made us think, and now we can discern the devilish bullshit from the truth. And that's, they can't ever approach that with their artificial shit. We don't need no artificial shit, because we're connected. So they can chase us and copy us all they want, but they're never going to be us, you know? And they're doomed.
Yeah, the way I look at it is just that, like, there's so much crazy shit going on out there that nobody would ever believe, even if they came flat out and said, yep, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. It would seem so outlandish to most people. I just think it's crazy to not at least consider it and question everything. Why would you not?
We should.
These people have a history of fucking lying to you. So
yeah, the crazy thing is not questioning it. Yeah, that's the crazy,
like, even
thing.
Even if we end up being wrong, even if Epstein's dead and none of these people that gather in their secret meetings with their cloaks and burn effigies and shit, even if we turn out to be wrong about all of it, like, the stupid ones are the ones who never considered that as an option or never entertained those things. Like, those are the people that are cool with getting in a fucking vehicle that will drive you to your location and you never touch the steering wheel. Like, those are the people that are just, you know.
You mean in them self-driving cars?
Yeah, I'm never doing that.
It's fucking insane.
No,
I think that too. I'm glad you brought that up. They're so trusting with the wrong shit.
It's
the fucking wrong shit. It's
a control tactic. They don't want you to have gas in your car, and the autonomous decision-making power to go where you want, when you want, you can go as far as you want. They want you to plug your coordinates into a computer so they can see exactly where you've gone. And if you're somebody that they don't like, okay, well, hit the button, shut his fucking car off, and let's go get him.
Or
reroute it to drive off a cliff, or take him to the fucking police station, or whatever. Like, and, you know, maybe that's not a reality right now, but it will be. That this is how things start. Hey, like, this is compliance disguised as convenience. Like, that's what.
That's right.
So
that's a good way to put it.
Did you see the guy?
I just feel like we hit. I think what happened. What, Jake?
The guy with the virtual reality glasses in the self-driving car. Did you see that video?
The Apple Vision guy.
Yeah, that guy. That he's done. He's gone right into the gas chamber. You know what I mean? He's not going to question.
Yeah.
Sure. You want me to go in here and take a shower? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I think shit's gone so far as they figured out that every block has not just a child molester every other house, but a fucking serial killer.
I watch the ID channel. Can there be more fucking serial killers loose out there? And fucking Democrat, fucking serial killing motherfuckers. I mean, my God, it's true. It's absolutely true. And so they're like, we've got to contain these fucking serial killing motherfuckers. So what we're going to do is put them in a 15-minute city. We don't have to put the boot on them. We'll give them an electric car, and they'll get like 10 miles a day, and it don't roll over.
I read about the 15-minute city, and it ties in with the social credit system and digital currency and like all that shit. And it's, fuck, man. Like, I mean, if you could see where the world is right now, if you could have looked into the future 10 years ago, this shit is fucking dystopian. Like, and it's only accelerating. Like, it's only getting more and more dystopian all the fucking time. Like, if we could look into the future now, 10 or 15 years, we'd probably all check out. We let me off this fucking ride. Like, I'm good.
No shit. Right? They're like, oh my God, I can't take much more of these people's stupidity and their refusal to wake the fuck up. It's getting me so fucking mad. I don't know what I can do besides go on, what's that called, nudist.com. What is it, Jake, where I'm getting my thing?
OnlyFans?
Oh, you got OnlyFans? Yeah, I'm going to
start stripping for peace. I'm going to fuck up the internet like it's never been fucked up if they don't look out.
Stripping for peace. I dig that.
Tom, can I ask you a quick question? Yeah. One of my favorite things about you, not just that you've been successful as a rapper, but that you've done it 100% independent by yourself, you and Nova. I don't know who else you got working for you, but you're working your ass off 20 hours a day. I saw you on our friend Blair White show talking about it. Like, you're working your ass off. A lot of people do things and they build their own careers, but they have like 30 or 40 people. They're wasting money. They're hiring their own people to be successful on your own back. Today is actually, and I would say, harder than it's ever been.
But that's the dream I always wanted. Yeah. I just have to say, that's why I'm admiring you, because all I ever wanted was to own my own work and to profit from my own work, not to make $1 billion for a fucker and I get 20,000,
right.
You know, which was my deal. You know, I wanted to own my shit. I wanted to own the venue it was shown on. Fuck. And I wanted to be the production company too.
Well, Nova and I have seen every single episode of Roseanne and no episodes of The Conners.
I'm
gonna put that out there. Fuck that.
Fuck that, man.
Yeah, but yeah.
But I mean, you're striking a blow for the artiste, and you know, the independent, you know, the artiste to control their own art. It's just great. It's like, you know, it's like when it's just like a lot of other maverick moves in the music. But this one is like just unbelievable because you've got YouTube and it's worldwide. It's so different.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is a hard time to independently go about doing your business, whatever that may be. It's a double-edged sword because we have access to the entire world through the internet, on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all this shit. But we're also like heavily censored and suppressed and fucked with on those same platforms. So sometimes you have to sort of like dumb your own art down and allude to things without being very super direct, or they're going to kill your shit and then you're fucked.
But that's so, it's a good, I look at it towards, it's a good exercise to, you know, refine your word talent to communicate something, you know?
Absolutely. So yeah, the independent thing, I mean, it's just, I've been told since I was a kid, never sign anything. That was something my dad always said to me, never sign anything. So Nova and I have sort of created this little ecosystem outside of the music industry. And, you know, aside from waking people up and empowering the everyday man, you know, a big part of this for me is like, is putting on for other independent artists and like showing other independent artists like, hey, you don't have to be beholden to these record labels. You don't have to be controlled by anyone. You can be successful in this industry from outside this industry. Like, Like, I make all my own beats. I write my songs. Nova shoots and edits the videos. We design every single t-shirt. We distribute the music independently ourselves. We, for many, 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 many years, packed every single album ourselves. We work 20 hours a day still. There's, you know, the music industry has resources. They have resources and they have relationships. That's the big one. But if you're willing to work hard, harder than everybody else, when the music industry is sleeping, you got to be working. When they're eating, you got to be working. When they're working, you got to be working twice as hard. And if you're not afraid of hard work, the sky is the fucking limit. Like, Nova owns $500,000 in cinema quality cameras. She owns $250,000 in lenses. She has hundreds of thousands of dollars of lighting. So we have the resources now. There's nothing they can do. They can say, oh, you're canceled. And we can say, guess what? No, the fuck we're not. There's no sponsor here. There's no record label. There's no manager or PR publicist. There's nobody here that's going to drop us or you know, take away a sponsorship deal. Like, we've built, we are insulated ourselves entirely from what you guys are doing.
Well, what about if they really want to fuck with you, though? They can. You know that, right? They can cut off your bank accounts now and all that other shit, that social credit score shit.
Of course. And that's a whole other thing. And there's also things that you can do to work your way around that. Like, I got...
Buy gold and silver.
Pardon me?
I said buy gold and silver. We sell gold and silver.
So we have, you know, this... We talk about gold and silver all of the time. It's even in this episode with Tom McDonald and every other episode, because it's something we really believe in. We are afraid they're going to shut down the grid, or if they don't like what we're saying, they'll cancel us, they'll take away our YouTube and stuff. They'll also possibly shut off our banks, like Trudeau did to the truckers in Canada. So this is something we really, really believe in, and that's gold and silver. We've been doing this since the beginning. This is the first ad we ever did on this podcast, was gold and silver. And I think you should talk a little bit about why it's important, if you don't mind, and then we'll send people to where they can go to set up.
Well, because it's real.
Yeah.
It's like, talk about real estate. They say all wealth comes from land.
Yeah.
That's real estate, but... you know, precious metals are actual value. You know, it's actual better than money in the bank, because money's just made out of paper. And if there's a big crash, it won't be worth the paper it's written on.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know, you'll be using it to light your fires or whatever they did in Germany when that all collapsed.
Toilet paper too.
I mean, you know, but gold and silver and stuff like that, and especially gold, is, you know, a great investment, because it'll always have its value. It will retain or even grow in value over the years. I think it'll keep growing, too.
Absolutely. A lot of people buy gold and silver from an investment standpoint, which it's a good investment, but I think...
Especially for down the road, and,
yeah,
you know...
It could, your wealth will increase incrementally, but to me... and I say this all the time, I think it's more about protecting your wealth, because especially if we see what's going on in the world, like, you could have a shit ton of cash in the bank or even in a safe at home, and that could just be one day just considered obsolete and everything you have is gone. So forget this from an investment standpoint. This protects your investment. Even if it doesn't increase or you can't retire on it, the fact is, what you put in, no matter what happens, it will stay at the very least. You're not going to lose your money. And that's why a lot of people transfer their money into IRAs. You can do a rollover. You actually put your retirement in gold and silver. That's why a lot of people do it. And that, when you go to rblikesgold.com, that's what they sell. You'll sign an IRA kit. They want you to roll over your money in IRA, and you should do it. If you don't want to, or you don't have an IRA, you can also buy individual gold and silver. They'll help you through it. Whatever you want, you can have. It's something you must do, because at the very least, it will protect what you have. You don't want one day for them to go, you know what? The American dollar's dead. You know, now we're on a Chinese dollar, and you just sit there and you have toilet paper. And that's it. That's a terrifying thing to think about. Or if it's in the bank or a digital currency, it could just be obsolete one day.
That's what they say is happening.
Yeah, I think it is.
China, you know, just, it's already here.
Yeah,
already infiltrated with their armies everywhere. So, you know, so, you know, get ready for impact, America.
Yeah, and go to rblikesgold.com and fill out the IRA news kit letter. Whatever they want you to fill out, just do it.
Yeah.
Because at the very least, you're now, you know, talking to someone there that can help you get what you need. It's very, very important. Satellite phones, food, ammunition, shelter, and gold and silver. That's what I think.
You know, I wrote, well, you know, we'll talk about that sitcom I wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, there you go.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or put a fucking safe in your house. Or, you know, like I've gone to great lengths to sort of, in the worst case scenario, like I've got my entire family has satellite phones. So if they
yeah, we have that too.
Yeah. So if they, kill our phones or the fucking grid gets knocked out by like an EMP or whatever the fuck it's called, I'd still call my mom and dad and say, hey, this is the coordinates, meet me right fucking here. So
are you getting prepared for that in any way? I mean, you know what I mean? Are you thinking that there's something bad coming?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not like a prepper. Like I'm not like hiding out in the woods drinking my own piss or anything, but I got a couple of years worth of survival food and I got my folks' satellite phones and we've, you know, have things to protect ourselves and but you can't, to me it's like if you live in that, it takes a lot of joy from your day to day. So I try not to like live in that headspace, but like be prepared for it. Just be aware of what's going on in the world around you and be, you know, who fucking knows? Maybe China fucking walks ashore tomorrow. Like who fucking knows?
I think they already did that. I think they might be trying to train us up into accepting the fact that, you know, we're under Chinese rule and we better start, you know, producing some work or we're going to the gulags.
Well, I think they just do it in different ways, right? Like it's not actually boots on the ground this time, but like if you look at TikTok, like in China, TikTok's like an educational platform. There's nobody fucking dancing and screaming about, oh, I identify as a fucking cupcake and you have to participate in my delusion. And there's none of that shit. It's an educational platform. And I think what most people don't realize is, guess what? TikTok's a fucking educational platform here too, but they're educating you with different propaganda. Shit. They're just like, instead of adding things to your brain and adding information, they're distorting the information that you have and eroding your mind. Like it's still an educational platform. They're just educating us to be dumb and passive and compliant and fucking confused and useless while they're educating their own population to be the opposite. So I think, you know, people always talk
about, I think they feel our working class is what has it too, way too goddamn good. The way they look down on it is like these people complaining and saying they're not getting enough and this and that, and now they want this and that. All they do is complain and they can't, you know, do anything right and blah, blah, keep drinking and blah. Everything they think of the working class, every stereotype.
Yep.
And so they're like, you know what? They're never going to change or get any better. They're all clinging to their guns and their Bibles on top of their other shit. So I say, let's bring in even more poor fuckers and sign them up to shoot the Americans because they ain't nothing but lazy racists anyway.
Yeah.
That
Biden 24.
Is that the campaign video right there, huh?
Yeah.
It'll be on his account tomorrow.
Yeah, so, you know, people talk about World War III all the time, and I think that World War III has been going on for a while. It's just not it's not being fought in the way that people expect it to. Like,
yeah,
I mean, COVID, like that's
no what you have shit.
To say. Like, come on, like that was literally the beginning, and we're still in the middle of it now. It's just a war that's being fought psychologically. And digitally, it's just a different type of war, but it's happening.
Yep. It's an information war, like Alex Jones rightly named it years ago. It's an information war, the war of the screens and the memes and, you know, the sound bite and anything they can show 4,000 times a day in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Because repetition is very much a part of mass mind control, showing the same shit over and over.
100%. Yep. And that's literally what TikTok is. 10-second videos of the same shit over and over and over again. It's brainwashing kids every day. It's fucking wild.
What in the hell are we supposed to do about it?
I'm going to make rap songs about it. I feel like that's, I mean, everybody here has a gift. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, never discover what their gift is. They never discover what they're supposed to bring the world. And you've brought the world tons of stuff through your comedy and through your platform. And you've done it in a different way than I've done it. But I've discovered, you know, thank God for that mental breakdown. And thank God for that moment in 2017. That was literally my gift being shown to me. Hey, this is what you're capable of. This is what you're here to do. Okay, cool. That is what I'm here to do. I'll take that ball and run with it. So, you know, beyond that, like beyond.
Sometimes you got to break, you know, you got to shatter the wall to get to the.
Yeah.
You know, in Jewish, real deep Torah stuff, it's called, you remove the 10 layers of artificial or self-made, create a psychological protection is in 10 layers around the heart. And when you remove them, then you have the nourishing nut of, you know, the most nourishing nut of all in the body that, you know, has no fear, but can, it doesn't have fear. It has, instead of fear, it has hope and vision. It's something past all that fear and programming, something so good. And, you know, I see that in you, and I see it in just so many people now. I think the times are just calling for it, and we're lucky to be here and to be part of it. And I love to see it. So we've always enjoyed you and felt like you're very connected and, you know, into the right kind of ideas. They're not just so ridiculous like that fucking Taylor Schneidman. What's her name? She's a Jew. Taylor Swift. Her real name's Taylor Swiftstein. She's a Jew. I want to smack her. She's just repulsive.
You don't like Taylor?
And they say she's going to get Biden reelected. I'm like, hey, you're a Jew, even though they changed your name from Swiftstein to Swift. That's true.
I'm not allowed to talk shit about Taylor Swift because my girlfriend fucking loves her. I talked shit about her in a podcast the other day, and she interjected, like got on the mic from somebody that was off camera and was like, I love Taylor Swift. Don't even be talking shit about her. But like, she's,
okay, well, I'm only talking shit about her Judaism because she don't know shit about her own religion. And the shit she is yammering is making me really pissed off. And I want to say Taylor or Tyler, whatever. What's her name?
Taylor Swift.
Tyler, I love that.
Tyler Swift. Listen here. Listen here, girl.
Michelle might be a Michael.
You're a Jewish girl. We know you are. We know where you come from. But you know what? You're on the side of people that don't like the Jewish people. Now, you need to learn a little something and meet a certain God you don't know nothing about because you know nothing about your own religion, Judaism. But let me tell you what. Let me introduce you to a guy whose name is God. And you are not
Roseanne.
Speaking for the Jewish people, of which you are one. So you better sit down and STFU, girl, or I'm going to stay on your ass because I'm a Jew and I do the Jewy Jew thing. And you are not going to be up there talking for me when you don't know jack shit about your religion. Okay?
Do you have a Twitter account? Because you need to be on Twitter.
Huge one. The best thing on Twitter, in my opinion.
Okay. Okay. See, I'm not, I don't fuck around.
Well, Jake poo-poos everything I want to put out there. He not poo-poos. True. He's like not the fucking true. Stalin. Now I got a new Stalin, my own fucking brat.
Yeah, Tom, check this out. I'm like, why don't you say something intelligible that like will reach a lot of people? And she's like, I want to talk about something that's retarded. And then I say, how about you don't do that? And now it's mind control.
Now you're saying the R word. You're going to get us kicked out of here.
And I will always say the R word.
Hang on.
Okay, you're going to get us canceled.
You can't get canceled.
Well, your girlfriend now, Nova, listen, Nova, that Taylor Swift, she should not be out there talking about hurting her own people. And you better listen to what I say there.
I'll let her know. But I'm telling you right now that there's nothing that's going to convince her to stop being totally in love with Taylor Swift. But I'll let her.
No, she's so talented and gorgeous. How can you not be in love with her? But I'm just correcting her. She shouldn't be doing anything political because she's not good at it. She ain't good at it.
She criticized Soros, who bought her library. And then two years later, she was endorsing Biden. So let's be honest. This is the truth.
They probably hung her out the window by the ankles like they did to Tupac.
Yeah.
Over there at Death Row Records. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. That was
Vanilla Ice. I don't think
it wasn't Tupac, but it was Suge Knight that held him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Suge Knight.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Vanilla Ice either, but whatever. Anyway,
it was somebody.
Yeah, she's become very critical of the people that own her music are critical of, and that's all you
need. And anyway, she started out as country. I don't know where she thinks she's fucking Barbara Streisand, for fuck's sake. She's from country.
Well, I think a lot of that mainstream country music is sort of just melded into pop music, right? I think all fucking music has sort of become pop music. Like even like a lot of the hip hop out there is just pop now.
It's sort of taking
over everything. Yeah.
What did you think of ASAP Rocky doing his thing in Paris there with that fully instrumental orchestra?
Did you see it? No, but I did see a picture of him in Paris the other day wearing the fucking most hideous outfit I'd ever seen in my life. Because they go to these fashion shows, right? And they wear like whatever is supposed to be cool next season or something. This shit's fucking horrendous. Rosie, I've seen you wearing a lot of cool Gucci and shit like that over the years. You ever look at the men's section on the Gucci website? There's fucking dresses in there. It's bonkers. Like this demasculation of men is like, it's a huge.
Well, I love it because they make them big. And so you can't get above a size 12 from Gucci's or none of them because they're also anti-Semite. So of course they'd rather come up with a dress for a big fat man than a woman. Fucking anti-Semite sexist. So I'm glad they're doing that. Then I'll be able to get a nice dress maybe.
Well, we've done this podcast now for like 7 or 8 months. We've done a lot of ads. It's going really well. But this is a company I've been trying to get since the beginning because I'm a patriot and I like working with patriots. And it finally happened. Mike Lindell from MyPillow. My pillow guy has finally bought ads on the Roseanne Barr podcast. We're very, very excited. For those of you who love Mike, you're fully aware of what he's done for this country, but he's offering $90 off his original My Slippers that both me and my mother, if I don't think you can get it as high to the camera. But
These are the best slippers ever.
They really are.
Plus, I wear them outside. You're not supposed to.
No, you can. It's got this rubber bottom. These things are awesome.
I wear them in the store and everything.
Oh, yeah. This is all we've been wearing in Hawaii. Literally.
They're the perfect shoe.
And you can get $90 off My Slippers. They're made with MyPillow foam and an impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And they're made with quality leather, suede, and designed to wear indoors and outdoors. You can wear them outdoors.
Oh, good.
So for a limited time, you'll get $90 off and also free shipping. These are the most amazing
and they're
slippers.
Cute.
No, I think they're like moccasins.
Yeah, that's what they remind me of.
And I think we're pretty much guaranteed that we're going to be wearing these every podcast episode we do together, right?
Well, I'm going to be wearing them regardless as to what happens podcast. If they shut down the internets or whatever they do or try to do, I'll still be wearing them.
No, they're that comfortable. They're the most comfortable shoe I've ever worn. And I'm not talking about other products, but I have those Hey Guys or whatever they're called, fishing shoes that are really comfortable. That's not what they're called, but these are a million times better. We want people to get these. And you can also, of course, order other products off my pillow site. You can get pillows and sheets. We have all that stuff too.
I got all that.
All amazing. But these are, we really want to push these because these have really changed our lives. Because we don't even have to, get really dressed anymore. We went to dinner last night in these.
That's true, we did. They did. They are like, no, they're more than shoes and more than slippers.
They are, and you can wear them inside.
They're like two things in one.
It feels like a bathroom slipper that you could drive and go to the store in, and you don't look like white trash. Because you can go to the store in bathroom slippers. I see it all the time at Walmart and stuff. But these look cool. So tell people where they can go.
Okay. Go to mypillow.com/RB or call 800-973-9214. You will also find other specials such as 50% off the MyPillow 2.0.
Oh, wow.
Also get the six-pack towel sets for only $29.98.
That's a good deal.
To get the best specials ever, go to mypillow.com/RB or call 800-973-9214 and you get free shipping on your entire order.
That's pretty cool.
So call 800-973-9214 or go to mypillow.com/RB.
I love it. And again, we love Mike Lindell, and he's been pulled out of all these stores. What they've been doing to him is disgusting. Talk about cancel culture. They've been trying to bankrupt him. They pulled him out of a bunch of stores. So we stopped going to certain stores. I didn't want to give him a plug because of what they've done to Mike. So it's not only are these comfortable and the products are good, but you can actually help support a brave patriot of America by buying products.
Boy, it's getting tough out there, right?
It is. And we have to pay with our wallets. We have to speak with our wallets, and we have to support companies that have like values. I don't want to send this money to some shoe factory that hires, you know, Chinese children slaves to make them. I want to support people like Mike Lindell.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, it's not for me, but I'm happy for you, though.
I think men's clothes are far more interesting than women's. I mean, I can't go around with a bare midriff 24/7 like all these other bitches I see out there. I'm 71, for fuck's sake. I've got to have some fabric, you know?
What happened to stripping for peace?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I'm going back.
You got to take baby steps. You got to get comfortable.
Are you happy?
Yeah. I think, yeah. Most of the time. I mean, I'm just like anybody else. I definitely, you know, have my days where I'm, you know, I look around and I struggle with it sometimes for sure. But I think generally, yeah, I'm I'm happy. Like I'm happier now than I was, you know, years ago when this whole thing first happened and we got to move out of Crenshaw and we lived on Melrose. It was a learning curve. I thought like, oh my God, like I've made it. And okay, well, what do I do now? Like I got all this money now and what do I do? Okay, well, I'm going to buy shoes. I'm going to buy jackets that there's only five of, and I'm going to buy this and that. And then all of a sudden I had a closet full of $100,000 of brand name luxury shit. And I would still lay in my bed at night and stare at that open door in the closet and be like, I'm still unhappy. And then,
oh my God.
And then you, but it, that's a, it's just part of the process. It's part of learning. Then you realize like, oh shit, you know what? I don't need to be like filling this void. I don't need to be searching for happiness through material shit. It doesn't mean fuck all. Like, where do I find my happiness? I'll find it in my dogs. I find it in my family. I find it in my girlfriend. I find it in my friends. I find it in making music that means something to me and making music that speaks for other people. Like, that's where I find my happiness from. So I had to go through that phase where you're like, oh, shit. Like, well, I made it out the hood and now I got all this money, so I better spend it on something. And now I'm just like, Mom, you're retired. Dad, this is the fucking Porsche that you wanted since you were 16. My sister is miserable working at the hospital. She called me one day on her lunch break in the middle of COVID. You know, there's like 50,000 cases a day. There's motherfuckers dying in the hallways and shit. And she's a nurse. And they run out of protective gear. She didn't got no mask, doesn't got gloves, like fuck all. And she's around sick people all day. And she calls me one day on her lunch break and she's distraught. She's crying. She's working 90 hours a week. no protective gear. She's horrified. And I was like, go in and quit your fucking job right now. And then call me back when you've done it. And then she goes in, quits, comes out. I said, fly to LA tomorrow. I'll put you to work. So she comes here and works for Hangover Gang. And that's what all this shit was for. It wasn't for shoes and jackets and jeans and shit. It was to retire my mom and get my dad his dream car and move my sister out from a horrible situation and take care of my girlfriend and love my dogs. And I have friends that have, you know, were in debt that are no longer in debt because they've been loyal to me for 10 years. And I took care of them. And that's what it's, I finally figured it out. Oh, fuck. This money wasn't for me. It was for making the lives of the people I love better. That's what this whole fucking thing was about. So, but it was a learning curve. So I spent a lot of time sort of while I was learning.
I had that too.
Yeah.
When I got famous, and my thing was, I got a lot of money up front, you know, and when it finally paid off at 100 episodes.
Mm.
That was a jackpot.
Yeah.
That was so great. And so I'm like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? Because all the shit I had to live through trying to do a working class show on an elitist snob of a fucking network twice. But they don't like working class people. They really don't.
But you made it work for you, though.
They didn't like that I tried. They didn't like that I made them intelligent and not buffoons.
Mm-hmm.
They hated that, too. And they hated that, you know, we had black friends. They hated that. Oh, my God. I had fun. That anyone was gay, they hated that. You know, on and on with the shit. I had to, the wear and tear on my body, family, and mind, you know, for them to just piss on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here we sit, and wouldn't you know, I forgot where I was headed with this, Jake.
You were talking about money. You got paid, and now you know what money
is. Oh, yeah. My thing was like, I'm in a fucking, I got all these letters all the time from crazy people. These people, I wish I could sue them. And if I love lawsuits and law shows, I used to watch Perry Mason with my grandmother all the time. Anyway, so if it seemed like it was a lawsuit to me, I'd pay for the lawsuits. I have won so many fucking lawsuits, you know, you wouldn't even believe it.
I love
some of them in federal court.
I love it.
And it was great. That was a great way of spending my money.
You got another one coming up with Gina Carano suing Disney that Elon Musk is going to pay for. We're going to try and get you looped into that as a class action against Disney potentially. So
badass.
Those sons of a bitch. What? Seriously.
That's a badass.
Fuck
you want to get in on it?
Yeah.
What is it? What is
you know, I'll sue Disney for about it, right? Talking with the media.
We don't know. We're just going to sue. We don't know.
Yeah, whatever. I've had
the class action suit against the media for lying to us.
Well, they shouldn't be able to slander you that way and ruin your career and take everything from you and not give you a chance to speak. I mean, it seems just, like they shouldn't be able to. I mean, I know they go, oh, you're a celebrity, but...
And continue to blacklist me 7 years on after they've proven that they were wrong.
I mean, you know, dude, Tom, they come at you.
Yeah, these are the same people that are, you know, putting woke narratives in children's movies and shit. So,
yeah.
Do you know what my friend found out yesterday? Mel Kay, she found out that the same people that are doing all this lawfare against Trump are the same people that were on the Mueller team.
Of course.
They're the exact same people. They never get rid of nobody up in there, up in them hallowed halls. So you just get promoted.
Okay, I feel like you guys are a lot more educated on some of this stuff than who the
Mueller, the Russian disinfo.
I've seen this on X. Yeah.
It's just the same people over and over. It's like way back before Trump even.
Yeah.
Way back. The same guys.
No, they're going to shut you up. They do it to us. They do it to artists. They do it to politicians. They do it to presidents. They will shut you up and sue you into oblivion. They will try and bankrupt you. They will try and take your name. And that's what I really wanted to talk about when you came on, is that being independent, being uncancelable, and doing this and still speaking, this is how we win. And the two of you are kicking ass right now. And as a fan of both of you, it's just awesome to watch.
Thank you.
And they can't cancel and kill all of us. They can't silence all of us.
Yeah, I hope it I hope it inspires other people to do the same. I think that's really the only that's really the only solution here, right? Is like instead of being the vocal few, if everybody else would just like, I think people are so afraid of being ridiculed by the internet and being canceled, crucified by strangers on Twitter.
It ain't shit. I lived through it. I'm 70. I lived through it. It was a couple of bad days. There was days like you're talking where I was sitting there just staring going, am I going to live through this? I don't think I can.
Right. This. But you do. And you're stronger because of it. And it's like people are so horrified of hearing the words like you're canceled. And they don't even realize that like what is being canceled? Is that a bunch of just fucking morons on Twitter telling you that they don't like you? Who gives a shit? Yep. If somebody says you're canceled, you know what your only fucking response is? No, I'm not. And that's it. Continue with your fucking life. Continue screaming your truth at the top of your fucking lungs. Who gives a fuck what anybody on Twitter has to say about it or anywhere on the internet? And people are.
You made a really good point, Ma, just so in case you're confused on this, is that it's really not the Twitter mob that's canceling. It's the companies, the advertisers that freak out when they see the Twitter mob that canceled you. That is real. You get fired. That happened to my mom.
Right. Saying, part of my lawsuit.
Yeah.
If Musk ever hears this, but he ignores me like all the guys ignore me. We'll but they canceled my show before even one sponsor pulled out.
That's right.
So. There are so many weird things about what they did to me.
So where was the pressure coming
from? They did it because I like Trump.
It was all Obama. Mm-hmm. It came from the top. I mean, Valerie Jarrett, the tweet was about that got her in trouble.
It did come from the top.
It came from Michelle, Barack Obama, and Bob Iger at ABC. He's a friend of theirs.
Well, that's when they were using people like Rosie and other prominent people and sort of making examples out of them on a very public forum so that everybody else, you know, after you cancel Roseanne and you cancel this celebrity and this athlete and this actress and this musician, then everybody else who's on the come up is like, oh my God, they can cancel Roseanne and they can cancel this guy. Imagine what they could do to me. So I'm just going to shut the fuck up and close and shut my mouth.
That's why they do it, and that's why we can't be quiet. That's why we got to keep doing this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything else?
It's disheartening at times because can't people see? I mean, like Jake said the other day, can't they see that it's only one side getting in all the trouble and one side doing the persecuting? Can't they see that?
It's
guess not.
It's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy. Like I even if you're on. You're as far to the left as you can possibly get. Like, there's still right and wrong. There's still fairness. Like, even if you're on the team that's canceling everybody, there has to be somebody on that side of the spectrum who stands up and says, hey, guys, this isn't right. Yeah, we can win the fucking game this way, but, like, is winning by cheating even worth it? Did we even really win at that point? Like...
Yeah, I keep waiting for them to do it, and they won't.
Well, they're getting paid. I think they're all, you know, I mean, I don't think it, nobody in the media does anything for free. We know that.
Yeah, fact.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're all getting paid to say those things and do those things and align with those causes. You know, they're all like everybody in the Congress and the House of Representatives is basically a paid prostitute because they're working for a pimp, you know. They're not working for us. They're taking their money back, you know, for special favors for their pimps, their lobbyists.
I would just like I would like to believe that there are folks out there who believe that integrity is a greater currency than any, you know, fiscal amount of money that they can be paid. I believe that in general, I think that human nature is to be good. I would like to believe that.
Me too.
Yeah. And I believe that.
I think for some of us, that's true. I think for the majority of us, that's true. But for some, it ain't true at all. They ain't got nothing good in them. And people don't want to see it. And they always are quick to forgive the unforgivable and yet quick to condemn the minuscule.
Absolutely.
And we're so fucked up.
Yeah, it's, we're in some sort of upside down, backwards, fucking clown show right now. It's a circus out there. So
crazy. Well, hopefully it'll end.
Yeah, it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be a big year for that, man.
Hope our paths cross somewhere out there.
If you weren't so far away, I would have came and saw you in person. But
where are you again? I can't remember.
I'm outside of LA. I'm close to where you are when you're here.
Well, then we're gonna make it a point to do our thing when we get our thing.
I would love
that. Yeah, this has been years in the making, this interview, and I finally
we've admired you for a long time, and we're so grateful that you came on the show. It's wonderful to talk to you.
It's way cooler for me, trust me.
Well, that's very sweet.
He's talking about me, Mom.
Oh, yeah. My son, he's all right. He's a good kid.
All right. Well,
he's a smart guy.
Thank you. I loved it. It was as good as I thought it was. And I'm so glad you finally came on. Oh, thank you. You know, my 5-year-old nephew can sing Fake Woke. I guess we're kind of programming him like TikTok on the other side. Now I think about it.
At least
it's pretty badass to watch. It is a great song. I mean, for those of you, if you live under a rock and don't know who Tom McDonald is, go to his YouTube page, look up these songs. There are so many great songs. The first time I ever saw you was actually White Trash. That's when I became a fan. I told you I've been a fan of yours a long time. And then, you know, there's so many good ones. Fake Woke is probably the one that most people probably link you to right now. And that is a brilliant song. And well, now it's the Ben Shapiro rap song that's number one this week. That's probably going to be your new thing. So congrats.
Yeah.
Because that really breaks so many paradigms. I love it for so many reasons. It breaks so many narratives and false paradigms. First of all, Ben Shapiro rapping is so hilarious. But he did a good job.
Yeah.
No, it's fire. Oh, last question, Mom. You forgot. You got to ask Tom, why have you not been asked to rap in a rap
video? Oh, yeah. I'm ready to rap. I'm ready. You know, I tried it one time. Remember Coolio?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he wrote me a rap and it was really cool. And I was doing it. He had a studios and I was doing it. It was so cool. It was like, yeah, I made my, and it was all that language, you know, riding low, all that stuff. It was so cool.
Okay.
And I did record it, but anyway, I forgot where I put it, like everything else in my life. But it was genius.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm always ready for it. I think, my theme would be I want to outlaw bullshit. Bullshit should be fucking illegal. These fucking bullshit liars, they should be in jail. You know?
Agreed.
If you get any rap ideas along that or, you know, busting a bullet with somebody.
I did a song called Politically Incorrect in 2018, and I literally said in that song, honestly, honesty is going to be illegal.
Yeah.
So, look, if this is that moment like I had with Ben when he joked about, hey, I'm going to be in a song.
It is.
And I called him on it and got him in a song. Is this that moment? Are we going to?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm ready. Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay.
It's got to be about being canceled, I assume. But you're the artist. I'm just throwing that out there.
I mean,
I want to say a big fuck you right in there, fucking stupid ass devil.
Oh, my God. I already see her on a cross being burnt.
We're not going to do any Madonna type shit.
Talk to Nova about it. She'll love that.
I mean, that sounds more like a Lil Nas X video than a Tom McDonald's video.
But, let's do a non-satanic rap. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, right? Let's do that.
Against the devil. That'd be so rad.
So when you're back.
Okay.
Around here.
We'll do it.
We're going to hook up.
And you don't drink, so how much fun are you now?
I mean,
you and Nova, you're sobers. I don't know if sobers, I don't know what to do with them besides feed them.
I mean, I've always kind of been the life of the party, though. Like,
oh, cool.
I think at my baseline resting state is like most people fucking shit-faced. So.
Oh, cool. But, I love it.
Yeah. We'll get along just fine.
I love it. Well, right. I love you, and thank you so much for being on my podcast. Tom McDonald.
Thanks for having me, Rosie. I love you, too. I love you more.
Thank you, baby. Oh, you see?